Shalom. Today, the 22nd day of the month of Iyar of the year 5778, the 37th day of the Omer count, the 7th of May of the year 2018. And we continue with our studies of Malachi. We had indeed, in our previous session, ended in the middle of a parasha where the prophet is castigating for the people for not showing the due respect to the temple sacrifices by being willing to offer animals that were blemished and flawed. And the prophet in chapter 1 of Malachi, verse 8, taunts the people by saying, "Would you offer these kinds of gifts to your governor of flesh and blood?" Pointing up how the people were more afraid of flesh and blood than they were of God Almighty. They did not have the requisite fear of God. And here the prophet was castigating the people as he is setting them on the foundations for the Second Temple period, which was then commencing. And we can see in these prophecies about the flaws in the temple services and in the ensuing reproofs on other areas of the lives of the people, and particularly the priests, we can see many lessons touching on our times. And as we will be studying the ensuing verses in chapter 1, picking up at verse 9 and going forward, we may well ask ourselves how the prophet's reproof against the people regarding the temple sacrifices could be applied to our communities and our synagogues today, and the way in which we go about our divine service in the synagogue and relate to the service and to the building and the structure of the synagogue. So let us continue from where we were in our last session. In verse 8 of chapter 1, the prophet had given his castigation to the people about being willing to bring flawed animals to the temple altar they would never dare to bring to their governor. And in verse 9, he taunts the people. He said, he taunts the priests. He said, "Now if you will entreat the face of God, will he indeed be gracious? Is this the kind of service that will elicit his favor? And it is your responsibility. Will he show favor to any of you?" And now, continuing in verse 10 in the Hebrew, "Mi higam bochem v'yiskur delosayim v'leiso iru mizbechi chinom ein li chefetz bochem. Omar Adonai Tzvaos, Omincho lo yirtze miyedechem." Is there anybody among you that would please just close the doors of the temple so that you should not any more kindle fire on my altar for no purpose? I have no desire in such service, says the Lord of Hosts. I do not want your offerings. Rashi, in his comment on this verse, Rashi points up some of the allusions in the words. He says, "If only somebody would, some good person would arise and close the doors of my temple, so that no more they bring their offerings of this kind of abomination." And he says on the words, "You shall not kindle my altar for nothing." Says Rashi, "Be'ishim she'eni misratze bohem." This is talking about the fire sacrifices that I have no faith, that do not elicit any favor from me through them. "I have no desire for you." Now, turning to a midrash of our rabbis, he says, our rabbis explained in the midrash Torat Kohanim, a person says to his friend, "Shut that door for me." The friend doesn't ask a wage, a payment for doing that. Just like that candle over there, the other person doesn't ask a reward for such a minor act of labor. But you, is there anybody among you who would close the doors of my temple for nothing, for no wages? Did you ever kindle the fire on my altar for nothing? The priests have indeed received from God their rewards in exchange for the temple services that they conducted, namely the tithes that were given to them, the bikurim, the truma, the other priestly gifts. And the Kal Vachomer, says the Midrash, even these things, did you do these for nothing? All the more so that you never did for no wage things that would normally be done for a reward. In other words, Rashi pointing up a further criticism of the priests. You are doing this because you want something out of it for yourselves, not because of the love of the divine service. And then follows in our text the most important verse, which has many, many implications for Hashgafah, for the Torah outlook upon the world and the relationship between God and the universe and all of the nations. A very important verse with some very interesting ramifications. Verse 11 in the Hebrew text. Ki mimizrach shemesh v'ademavohoi godol shemi bagoyim uvechol makom muketor mugosh lishemi uminehot hayro ki godol shemi bagoyim Omar Adonai Tzevois. From the rising of the sun in the east to the setting of the sun in the west, great is my name among the nations, says the Almighty. In every place, muktor, from the Hebrew root haktara, to burn an incense altar, or the limb offerings of the animals on the outside temple altar. In every place, Mukta mugosh, from the Hebrew word root lehagish, to bring close, which is when sacrifices are presented at the altar, such as the meal offerings. And says the verse, surprisingly, from east to west, everywhere offerings are being given to my name, says the Almighty. Mincho tohero, it's all a pure offering. Ki godol shmi bagoyim, for great is my name among the nations. The implicit criticism is that God is indeed honored by all of the nations, and here the priests in God's very temple in Jerusalem are showing this disparaging attitude towards the temple services. The verse goes on to say the following verse, V'atem mechalalim oiso, you are desecrating this altar, emorchem shulchan adonai megolhu venivoy nivza ochloi. You are defiling this when you say that the table of the Lord is megoal. This is something sullied and defiled. And nivoy, we shall see presently how Rashi explains this word, nivoy. The talk on your mouth is that the food of the altar is treated with scorn. To go back to the previous verse, let us look at Rashi's comment on verse 11. Godol shemi bagoyim. Firstly, Rashi says, Omru rabbeinu dekoro le eloko delokayo. Our sages said that they called him the God of the gods. Even somebody that has idolatry, he knows that there is a God that is above all of them. That is to say, we can see indeed from Greek mythology and from Roman mythology that the even with the great panoply of gods that they had, there was always one, as it were, old senior god that is behind everything, and that would correspond to the phrase here, which is taken from the literature. This is Aramaic, the god of gods, which is a phrase reminiscent of Book of Daniel. And our rabbis knew that even the idolatrous nations of the world knew that there is a God above everything, except that they did not believe that the Supreme God is involved intimately in every detail of this world. Continuing with the Rashi, "B'kol mokam isnadvim lishmi." In every place, people are volunteering for my name, says God Almighty. Even the idolatrous people, the pagans, are in fact on some deep level turning towards God Almighty. A very, very remarkable saying of Rashi in the name of our sages. Then he continues with a different explanation of the same verse, a different midrash. V'rabosenu pirushu, our rabbis have also explained this verse. Eilu talmidei chachamim ha'oskim b'hilchos avodo b'chol mokom. These are the Torah scholars who are engaged in the laws of the service of the temple in all different places where they may be found, including in the exile. V'chein kol tefilos Yisrael shemisparim b'chol mokom. Likewise, this is referring to all of the prayers of Israel that they pray in every place where they may be. Those prayers from the people of Israel in their dispersed exile, they are for God like a pure meal offering. And Rashi now quotes the Targum of Yonatan ben Uziel on our verse. And every time when you are doing my will, I receive your prayers. My great name is sanctified through you. Your prayers are like a sacrifice. Like a pure sacrifice before me. And thus then is explained this verse. Lomo atem machalin shemi, why are you desecrating God's name? Halo godol hu magoyim, God is so great among the nations. Vani ohavti v'chibosi aleichem shebechol makoyim shatem ispolim fonai. I have loved you and my love is upon you in every place where you are praying before me. Even in the exile, all is being offered and brought on my altar of service for the sake of God's holy name. And so this is the prophet's reproof, and certainly one that we should be taking to heart if we are seen as representatives of the God of Israel. When we associate with the Torah of Israel and we are publicly identified with the Torah, we must make sure that we show the proper honor to our service of God, because all of the nations deep, deep down have awareness of God Almighty, and we must therefore show great respect so that we bring about Kiddush Hashem and, God forbid, not the opposite. So continuing now with the Hebrew text of the prophet, going back to now verse 12, we had already translated, you are profaning God's altar when you say that the table of the Lord is so despicable. The expression niv is one of the fruits, as in the Hebrew word tenuvah, which is the produce of the field. And the fruits of the mouth are the words that come forth from the mouth. And the niv, the words on the lips of the priest was such that the whole temple service was seen from their way of speaking about it to be very degraded in their eyes. And now entering, continuing in this reproof in verse 13. Vahamartehem hine matlo vahipachtem oisohoi omar adoinoi tzvois vahaveisem gozuhul vies hapiseyach vies hachoylem vahaveisem es aminecho oiso omar adoinoi. Let us look at the interpretation of our commentators on this word. The Rashi explains that the word mataloor is from the Hebrew root of loor, to be weak, as in the case of the weak eyes of Leah, our mother. Mataloor, in the explanation of Rashi, is an animal that is weak, that is brought, a sickly animal brought by people to the altar as a kind of token sacrifice without any showing any real honor to the importance of the sacrifices. Hipachtem oisoi. Well, lapeach would be to cause somebody aggravation and disappointment. And Rashi explains that hipachtem oisoi, the word oisoi is what is called a tikkun sofrim, a word that the sofrim, the scribes, adjusted so as not to impugn the honor of God. But according to Rashi, it should have said ended with the letter yud to mean you have disappointed me, says the Lord. But that is not what is in the written text. You have given disappointment, we could say, to the altar. You've brought the stolen sacrifices, the lame sacrifices, the sickly. How could God find this acceptable from you? And this we should see as a reproof to us for those prayers that we pray without the proper focus, without the proper concentration, and sometimes we may knock off the prayers off the side of our mouth without sufficient attention to what we are doing. Continuing, the verse 13 is actually in the Hebrew text the end of a closed parasha, as signified by the letter samach in the text after the end of 13. But in fact, the verse 14 continues with the similar theme and is itself an introduction to the coming parasha, which goes off in a somewhat different direction, as we shall see presently. But continuing in verse 14, we're still on the subject of the temple sacrifices. Ve'arur noichil, ve'yesh b'yederoi zochol, v'noideher v'zoi ve'ach, moshechos ladoinoi, kihim, melech godol onim, omar adoinoi tzvois, cursed is the cheat that has a fine male animal in his flock, and he takes a vow, but when he sacrifices the blemished animal to the Lord. And this is why that person is accursed, for God is the great king, says the Lord of hosts. And summing up the previous section, my name is awesome among the nations. And continuing with the general theme in chapter 2, verse 1 of the honor due to God's name, verse 1 of chapter 2. V'yato aleichem ha-mitzvah hazois ha-koyhanim. This now is the commandment upon you, for you, the priests. Verse 2. Im Elois ishmehum v'him Elohom so simu alelev lo seis kovoid l'shemim omar adonai tzvois v'shirachti hivochem es ha-meirom v'horoisi ed b'ilchoi seichem v'gam oid Oroisihom, ki enechem esomim al leiv. If you will not listen to me, says the prophet, speaking to the priest, if you will not pay attention to give the proper, appropriate glory to the name of God, then I will send the devastating curse against you, and I shall turn your blessings into curses. They shall indeed be turned into curses already, for you are not showing the proper attitude towards the service which is due to the King of the universe. Well, here we have perhaps, we can see this as a very significant castigation against the priest in the light of what actually happened in the history of the Second Temple. Although in the generations after Malachi and his fellows Haggai and Zechariah, the elders of the men of the great assembly, continued to be righteous men, and the last of them was Shimon HaTzadik, who was the high priest time after this. Subsequently, the priesthood became corrupted. There was a time when the priesthood gained the ascendancy during the time of the Hashmonaim, the Hasmoneans, but in the later period of the Second Temple, the priesthood became very corrupt. The high position of high priest was available for purchase to the wealthiest bidder, and indeed, when the temple was destroyed, the priests were truly devastated and decimated, as we know from the history of Arabia, where after the destruction of the Second Temple and the exile of Jews from the land of Israel, which was under Roman occupation, many, many fled to Arabia besides those who fled north, south, and west. But those who fled to Arabia included many, many priests, including whole cities of priests. And at the time of the rise of Islam in the 7th century and thereafter, so many of these communities or priests were actually literally decimated and destroyed and annihilated by the rising Muslim power. And this would seem to be implied in the verse that we are studying here in the prophet Malachi. And continuing his reproof to the priests in verse 3, Hineni goy elochem ezazera, vezeireisi feresh alpeneichem, peresh hageichem, venoso eschem elohov. Hineni goy elochem ezazera, I shall rebuke the seed against you, that is to say that the seed that you sow will not grow to fruition, and that all that will be accomplished is this terrible, horrific curse, which is quoted in many places in the Musar literature of reproof and self-improvement. V'zeireisi feresh al panechem, I shall drew and spread the peresh, which is the dung, upon your faces. Peresh is that which is separating from the body of the animal in its excrement. And since these people have turned the whole temple service into something serving their own lust for eating meat and for prestige and position, this will be spread on their faces. The hag is the Hebrew term for the offerings brought on the festivals. All of this will be on their faces, and they will be carried to this very scrap heap, a very, very terrible curse. And indeed, this is in the Holy Zohar applied to people who turn the service of God into an excuse for material self-indulgence and for excesses, and who do not serve God at all with a true intent. And it will only be through this terrible curse and suffering that the people actually become aware of how they had failed. Verse 4. V'yidatem ki shilachti aleichem eis ha-mitzvah ha-zohis le-yohis berisi es levi omar adoinoi tzevohis. The prophet now goes in a somewhat new direction in expanding the rebuke to set the current bad and corrupt behavior of the priests in the perspective of what was truly expected of the priesthood. You shall know that I have put upon you this charge, this commandment, that is to say, of the conduct of the temple services, which were indeed at the very heart of the people's relationship with God. It was through the temple and its services that the people knew and recognized the God of Israel, and this was an injunction upon the priestly caste that my covenant, says God, should be with Levi. Of all of the 12 sons of Jacob, it was Levi that Jacob himself chose to entrust the spiritual tradition of Israel, although Joseph in Egypt was the leader in virtue of his position as the viceroy. Maimonides, Rambam states in the Mishneh Torah in his introduction, when he traces the chain of tradition of the Torah from the fathers downwards, that it was Levi that was chosen by Jacob to be the main link in the chain of transmission, and Levi gave it over to Amram, who gave it over to Moses. And so Levi is the founder not only of the priestly caste, which came through Aaron, but of all of the Levites who had a special position in the people of Israel, in their being the guardians of the temple precincts, the temple singers, and performing other functions in the temple. And all of this was a special covenant with Levi. And now, the meaning of this covenant and what is intended to be is expressed in the coming verses. Verse 5. Berisi Hoyeso ito hoy ha chayim ve ha shalom vo het nem loy moiro vayiro heni o me penei shemi nichas hu. This special covenant, which again was renewed with Pinchas, as we see at the end of the book of Numbers, after Pinchas' vengeance against the prince of the tribe of Shimon and the princess of the Midianites for their immorality publicly, the covenant which was given to Aaron originally and came through the line particularly of Eleazar and Pinchas, this covenant is God's covenant of life and peace. And part of this covenant, the prophet emphasizes that namely moiro vayiro eni, I gave him the faculty of reverence, and indeed he showed me this reverence. O mepnei shemi nihasu, before my name, the true Levite, the true priest, is lowered. He goes downward in the sense that he is humbled and he is meek and modest. And now continuing the depiction of the true priest, and here is a depiction particularly of Aaron, the high priest. Verse 6. Torah ha-semes ho-yeso befihu vi-avelo lo-inimetso vi-sefoso be-sholohim uve-mishohur holach iti ve-rabim he-shihiv me-ovohoin. The Torah of truth was in his mouth. Here the depiction of the true priest and Torah leader of the people, who brings the people to connection with God through his Torah teaching, through the true Torah that he speaks constantly. Avlo leinim tzobos fosov. Perversity, falsehood, corruption, nothing of the kind is ever found upon his lips. And this is a trait that is lacking in almost all of leaders, be they spiritual or political or any other kind of leader, across practically the whole world. Of how many can it be said that there is absolutely no avlo, no iniquity upon their lips? B'shalom uv'mishor holach iti. The true priest goes with completion, with peace. Over Mishor, on the straight path, he goes with God. But Rabim Heshiv Me Avon, many did he turn back from iniquity. This is the depiction of the true priestly leader of the people. Continuing in verse 7. Kisiv Esehei Chayhein Yishmeru Das Vesayro Yevakshu Mipiu Ki Malach Adonai Tzevahoisu. For the lips of the priest will guard wisdom, and Torah shall be sought from his mouth. For he is a malach, an agent, an emissary of the Lord of hosts. So here in these verses we have seen a depiction of the true spiritual leader of the people of Israel. And these verses are quoted many times by Rabbi Nachman as well as elsewhere in our literature as depicting the archetypal traits of the true tzaddik, the righteous leader of the generation, be he actually a kohen by pedigree to Aaron or any other leader. But the true leader must have these traits of being like an angel of God, without any trace of iniquity in his mouth, without any trace of impurity in his heart. And one can see indeed, as the prophet stands on the threshold of the Second Temple period, that what happened was that in the Second Temple period, successively, the spiritual center of the people shifted from the priesthood to the class of the Torah sages, the righteous Torah sages. The priesthood successively became corrupted, and indeed, in the course of the Second Temple period, with the onslaught of Greek culture, many of the priestly caste, in particular, became allied with the Tzedokim, the so-called Sadducees, who denied many key tenets of the oral Torah, the Torah Asheba Al Peh. And the priesthood, indeed, as we mentioned, became successively decimated during the period of exile after the destruction of the Second Temple. And in place of the priesthood came the role as leader of the people of the true Torah sages. And the true kings of the people were those Tanaim, who taught the teachings of the Mishnah, and subsequently the class of the Talmid HaChomim, who produced the great treasury and repository of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the Talmud, first the Jerusalem Talmud and then the Babylonian Talmud. And subsequently, the whole spiritual leadership of Israel has shifted to the true Talmid HaChomim, who are depicted in these verses of Malachi. Now, Ezekiel, who had prophesied shortly before the time of Malachi, in his closing chapters, depicts the position of the high priest and also of the Nasi as being core central players in the temple. And there is some difference of interpretation about whether this Nasi in Ezekiel is actually a priest or a king or a priest king. But from the prophecy of Ezekiel, where we will see the temple restored to the center of the life of Israel in time to come, the roles once again become merged: the role of the priest and the role of the teacher. What the prophet was criticizing was how the priesthood had become degenerate through the abuse by the priests of the sacrificial service, but. The goal is, as here depicted in these verses, we speak about the way that the true priest should be guarding wisdom and that Torah should be sought from his mouth. But in verse 8, the prophet returns to his reproof of the people.
V'yatem saltem min ha-derech. הכשלתם רבים בתוירו, שיחתם בריז הלוי, אומר אדוני צבאות.
But you have turned away from this true path. You have, in place of drawing people closer to God, you have turned people, caused people to stumble in the Torah. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And as a consequence, midah keneged midah, measure for measure, God will make the priests themselves despicable.
Ve'gam ani nosati etzchem nivezim ushefolim lechol hom kefi yasher einechem shomrim esderochai.
I too will make you despised and lowly among all the people, just like you are not guarding my ways, but you are showing favor and partiality in your Torah that you teach, as Rashi explains on this verse. The priestly courts would show partiality to the wealthy and would show the opposite to the weak and lowly. And so with this, we conclude this section of Malachi's reproof. And in the ensuing section, he raises another key issue of his time, the issue of the fascination of both the priestly classes and others in the people for non-Jewish partners and non-Jewish culture. And so we see that his reproof covers many different aspects.